All right, so you made it through the snow and ice. That's good. How many of you love snow? Show of hands. Right. That's because winter's just starting. Right. In about 2 months, I'll ask the question again, and we'll get like half of one raised hand. That will be it. I love snow, and especially now that I have my sons, they love snow. I love being able to send them out in the snow and not see them again for 2 hours. It's incredible. I just love it. I love the energy of it. I love this time of year. I love the conversation that we're in the middle of right now. And for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Chris High. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now we're in the middle of this conversation called Overwhelming Christmas. And as the Coldplay song that they just sung talks about, there's this unbelievable tension between what Christmas is supposed to be and then what Christmas oftentimes ends up being. And what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks is that tension and looking at how maybe, just maybe, we might be able to get back to where we actually look at Christmas as the most wonderful time of year, where we can actually get back to where we really enjoy this time of the year as opposed to being unbelievably overwhelmed by it. And we began the conversation a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at how the event of Christmas often offers us this unbelievable promise that it's going to be incredible, but it's not really the event of Christmas that offers us hope, but it's the love of Christmas. And we looked at how we can, rather than being overwhelmed by the event of Christmas, once again begin to be overwhelmed by the unbelievable love of Christmas. And then last week we talked about family and all of the craziness that's involved with family and Christmas, and yet how God has brought us into this unbelievable family that we can experience this Christmas. And that because of that, we can change the way that we interact with and what we look for from our immediate family as we walk through Christmas. And we're just getting started. We're just getting started. I'm really excited about the weeks ahead of us and the things that we're going to talk about. As a matter of fact, next week is our Christmas service and just celebrating everything that God's done for us. And I want to encourage you, if there's anyone that you can invite to be part of that service with you next week, make sure that you do it. And next week is one of those weeks of the year where every other week of the year, your friend is going to say, no, I'm not going to church with you. I'm not coming. But next week is that week where they'll say yes, because it's Christmas. And so I encourage you, take advantage of that. Invite them. Even if you think they're going to say, invite them to be part of that. We're going to be talking about some unbelievable, amazing things about what God's done for us in this gift of Christmas next week. And I'm really excited about what's ahead of us. We've got so much more to talk about. I mean, we haven't even talked about gifts yet. And you can't talk about Christmas and not talk about gifts, right? You have to talk about gifts. As you get to Christmas, it's all about gifts. It's one of the reasons why we celebrate Christmas as long as we do, because the stores are trying to promote those gifts as early as they possibly can. Gifts, it's one of the ways that we experience Christmas, one of the ways that we celebrate Christmas. We give gifts to one another. Gifts. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of awkward when it comes to gifts. I've never been very good at it. I'm a really awkward gift giver. I'm an even worse gift receiver. And how do you give a gift well? Because you give it to them, and sometimes you want them to open it in front of you. Like if it's a really good gift, you want them to open it in front of you. If it's not, then you're like, well, you know, just open it when you get home, right? But how do you give a gift well? And then it's even worse on the receiving end, because they give you a gift, and you're looking at it, and you're thinking to yourself, should I open it? Should I not open it? And they're looking at you, and you're trying to read them of whether they want you to open it, and they stay there, and they're still there, and you're like, well, I guess I have to open it. And then you go to open it, but then how excited do you need to be? And if you go too far, they'll know that you're faking it. So like, how do you respond well? Like, this whole idea of gifts, sometimes it can be just really, really awkward, and I'm not very good at it. And then on top of that, you add to it my competitive side, and I'm just super competitive. I always want to give the best gift. I want to receive the best gift. I'm messed up. I've told you this many, many times, okay? You should expect this. It shouldn't surprise you. And the whole gifts thing is just weird. And so you come to Christmas, and this is how we celebrate. And for a long time, I just thought something was wrong with me because I didn't really know how to give gifts. And then someone gives you a gift and you think, well, I got to get them a gift, right? Because, I mean, if you gave me a gift, I have to give you a gift. And then, man, I don't even remember how to shop since I got married. So that I have to figure out, I have to remember how to do that and then go get the gift. And I used to think that it was just me, that I was just really completely screwed up. But then as I grew up and over the last couple of years, I was exposed to this show called The Big Bang Theory. Some of you may have heard of it. And I found someone who related to what I'm talking about. And so check this out.
Okay, well, thank you for that. But I got you and Leonard a few silly neighbor gifts, so I'll just put them under my tree.
Wait, you bought me a present?
Uh-huh.
Well, why would you do such a thing?
I don't know, because it's Christmas?
No, Penny, I know you think you're being generous, but the foundation of gift-giving is reciprocity. Like, you haven't given me a gift. You've given me an obligation.
Don't feel bad, Penny. It's a classic rookie mistake. My first Hanukkah with Sheldon, he yelled at me for 8 nights.
To get me anything in return?
Of course I do. The essence of the custom is that I now have to go out and purchase for you a gift of commensurate value and representing the same perceived level of friendship as that represented by the gift you've given me. Well, it's no wonder suicide rates skyrocket this time of year.
Okay, you know what? Forget it. I'm not giving you a present.
No, it's too late. I see it. That elf sticker says to Sheldon. The die has been cast. The moving finger has writ. Hannibal has crossed the Alps.
I know it's funny when it's not happening to us.
Sheldon, I am very, very sorry.
No, I brought this on myself by being such an endearing and important part of your life. I'm going to need a ride to the mall.
It's happening to us.
Now maybe you don't experience it to that extent, and to be honest with you, I don't experience it to that extent, but I think all of us have experienced that in some way, shape, or form, and this idea that, okay, I've got a gift now, I've got to give a gift, and it just gets really weird. And I remember there was actually a point in my life where one of my mentors started working with me on this. It's that bad. So, and every time he did something for me, I had to do something for him. And so if he bought me dinner, then the next time I had to buy him dinner. If he got me something, I had to do something for him in return. And I remember one time in particular, it was my birthday, and he had got me a birthday gift, and he gave it to me, and he could see on my face as I received the gift that I was a little bit uncomfortable because I couldn't even remember what his birthday or when his birthday was, let alone the idea that I would actually get him a birthday gift. And then he gave me this birthday gift, and I'm thinking in my head, I've got to go home and look up his birthday because this next year I have to make sure that I remember to get him a birthday gift. And he pulled me aside and he asked me a question that impacted me a lot more than I expected it to. He said, Chris, let me just ask you really quickly. Is it possible for you to receive a gift? And initially I thought to myself, well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's easy. You just receive a gift. He said, No. Is it possible for someone to do something for you where you don't feel like you have to pay it back? Is it possible for you to receive a gift? And I began to think about that, and I began to look at my life and process through that, and we began to talk through that and work through that together. And I thought it was just kind of a weird thing about who I was. He thought it was pride. I said, no, I don't really struggle with that. It must be something else. And we began to look at this question. And then I thought that maybe it was just something that I struggled with, but over the years, I've begun to see it more and more in the lives of the people around me, in our lives. Is it possible for you to just receive a gift? And make no mistake about it, It's not necessarily easy to receive a gift. And it's very important, obviously, this conversation as it pertains to Christmas, not just because of the fact that we exchange gifts at Christmas with those around us, but because of the fact that Christmas, at the very core of what it is a gift. The whole meaning of Christmas, the whole mission of Christmas, is a gift. And so God sends his Son to live and to die for you. It's a gift. Let me take you back to that conversation that we saw between Joseph and the angel. As the angel's talking to him about what is about to happen on Christmas and this gift that he's giving, this one who's going to be born to Mary. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, we talked about this last week. He says, "As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" This is what Christmas is about. God sending his Son to live and to die for you. His gift to you. This conversation of gifts is unbelievably important around Christmas, not just because we exchange gifts, but because this is what Christmas is all about. A gift. And in case you don't understand that fully, I want to take you to a passage that's found in Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2 is talking about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. And he makes it unbelievably clear. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, that no one can boast." This is absolutely, positively, unapologetically a gift. And Romans 6:23 echoes this. And in Romans 6, the writer is trying to help us to understand not just that it's a gift, but that it is unbelievably and astonishingly a completely free gift. Listen to what it says. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." A gift. See, the conversation is incredibly important around Christmas because Christmas is a gift. Now, for some of you, you're just beginning this journey, and maybe your friend invited you to be part of this conversation today, and you've heard your whole life that the message of Jesus Christ is that in some way, shape, or form, you're supposed to earn your way back to him. And if you say the right things, and if you pray the right prayers, and if you go to church enough times, or whatever it may be, there's a set of rules that someone has communicated to you, or a set of expectations. But if you just live up to those, then God will accept you back. Then you'll be forgiven. Then you can earn your way back to Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. That's not the message of Christ. It's not even close. The message of Christ is right here. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And if you will trust him, it's your free gift. Completely free. A gift. And for some of you here today, that's going to be the first time you've ever heard that. And I encourage you to continue to journey with us, because as you hear it for the first time, I know you're skeptical and you wonder if that could actually be true. It is. And if you'll continue to journey with us, I think you'll see it over and over and over again throughout the scriptures and the message of Jesus Christ, that this is who he is. This is how he loves you. This is what he wants to do in your life. But then for others of us, we've heard that before. As a matter of fact, I think for many of us who are part of Hoboken Grace, we've lived our lives at some point trying to earn our way back. And we knew that we needed to be forgiven. We knew that something needed to happen to bring us back to God. And we were trying to do the right things. We were trying to, in some way, shape, or form, live up to his expectations so that he would accept us. But then there came a point where we came to understand this unbelievable message that it was a free gift. And so we accepted that. We stepped into that. We trusted him, and we stepped into this relationship with him, accepting that free gift. But it's interesting because what I've found on my own journey, and then for many of us who are on this journey, that although we accepted it as a gift at the beginning, there's something that happens as we continue on this journey with him. There's something that changes as we continue on this journey with him. And oftentimes what began as a gift will become something quite different. And will begin to show up in our lives in a very different way. And we understand at the beginning that it's free, that we don't have to do anything to earn it. But then as we continue on the journey, very subtly, all of a sudden we begin to believe that although it was free when we received it, we now have to pay it back. And so for many of us, it's very much like receiving that Christmas gift. And you receive it, but then you look at it and you enjoy it, but you understand, no, okay, now I have to in some way, shape, or form pay it back. I have to in some way, shape, or form give something back of equal value. I have to in some way, shape, or form repay this debt. Let me ask you something. As you look at your life, I want to ask you exactly what my mentor asked me. And think about it first as it pertains to you and those around you, those who want to love you, those who want to care for you. Are you able to receive a gift? And again, make no mistake about it. It's not necessarily easy because receiving a gift often strikes the very heart of our pride. And this is what I learned about myself, that I struggled to receive a gift because it struck to the heart of my pride, that in some way, shape, or form, someone was providing for me what I could not provide for myself. And this is seldom a problem when we can actually pay back the gift. But if the gift is so great that we can't pay it back, If the gift is beyond what we can repay to the other person, beyond what we can reciprocate, then oftentimes we struggle with it greatly. It strikes at the very heart of our pride. As a matter of fact, for some of you, you will not receive a gift you can't pay back. And people have stepped into your life and have wanted to do unbelievable things for you, but you've said, no, there's no way. I could never, ever receive that gift. For some of you, you've said that. For others of you, you've tried to love people in that way. You've tried to give those gifts, and they say, no. I could never take that. Why? Because I can't pay it back. And I don't want to be loved in a way that I can't love back. It's not easy. It strikes right at the core of our pride. There's a sense of dependency that comes with it. There's a loss of control that comes with it because now I'm depending upon something that has been given to me. I did not earn it. I do not own it, but it has now been given to me. And so now I'm living in this state where if it were to be taken away from me, I would not be able to do it myself. And so we're hesitant. As you look at your life and those around you, how about you? Can you receive a gift? But even more importantly, let me ask you this. As you look at Christmas, and as you look at what Jesus Christ has done for you, and the mission of Christmas, that he sent his son to give his life for you, to be a free gift, to bring you back to him, to pay for everything that you've ever done, to hurt those around you and to hurt your God. When you look at that, do you see that as a gift, or do you see that as a debt? And some of you are sitting here saying, well, I think it's both. No, it can't be both. They're polar opposites. Let me ask you again. When you look at what God has done for you, do you see it as a gift? Or do you see it as a debt? Living in debt is awful. Being loved is incredible. So let me ask you again. And don't worry about the banging in the back. It's just the drummer getting ready for the next set. No, these pipes in here, one day they're going to explode. We have no idea what's going to happen. Every winter it's like, we just know. One day we're going to walk in, there's going to be an explosion on the back wall. That's just the way it's going to be. I think the pipes in here are like 500-600 years old, right around in there. Right? Let me ask you again. Is it a gift? Or is it a debt? I think you can tell by looking at how you interact with God in light of it. Because you interact with a debt very differently than you interact with a gift. It produces different things in your life. When you live in debt, there's unbelievable fear and anxiety. It doesn't matter what the debt is. There's unbelievable fear and anxiety. I have conversations with people all the time who want to change their jobs. They hate what they do. They despise what they do. But they have so much debt, it's never going to happen because they're terrified. What if what I want to do, what if what I've dreamed of doing isn't going to be able to provide enough to be able to pay off this debt? There's this constant fear. There's this constant anxiety. What if I lose my job? How in the world will I ever be able to pay back that debt? What if something goes wrong? How am I going to be able to make it through? When you live in debt, there's unbelievable fear and anxiety. Am I doing enough? When you look at your relationship with God, let me ask you something. Does that show up? It's interesting because I have conversations with people all the time where these very same questions and these very same things show up as it pertains to how they relate to God and this idea that, okay, am I actually doing enough to pay it back? Am I actually bringing enough to the table in order to reciprocate the gift that's been given to me? Am I giving back enough that's of enough value to be able to ensure that I will continue to receive the gift that's been given to me? And there's this fear of losing it, right? There's this fear that in some way, shape, or form, if you don't give back enough, then the gift's going to be taken away. Living in debt. And there's this slavery because you can't make the decisions that you want to make. You can't live your life free because you owe something. You're in debt. I remember when my second son, Cale, was born, we found out that he had Down syndrome. And no matter how hard you try to fight it, and there were all sorts of things I learned about myself and my heart and my relationship with God as my wife and I walked through that. And I knew that it wasn't true, but no matter how hard you try to fight it, there's this voice in the back of your head whenever something like that happens that asks yourself, did I do something that this happened? And it betrayed that in my heart there was still a part of me that looked at this as a debt. That if I had just done something a little bit different, then maybe the blessing wouldn't have shifted. Then maybe it would have been different. See, when you live with a debt, you're constantly afraid. When you live with a debt, you don't want to talk to the one that you owe because you're afraid. You're nervous. You don't know what they're going to say. Again, have I done enough? Have I Have I paid enough? I'd be willing to bet that this morning at least 25% of those of us who are in this room are afraid to talk to God right now. Because of something that's happened this past week or this past month. And you look at that and you feel that you haven't paid back the debt well enough. And so you're afraid. When you look at what Christ has done for you, did you receive a gift or a debt? When you receive a gift, you respond very differently. As a matter of fact, when you look at 1 John and what it says about how our relationship with God is supposed to look and the relationship that God is trying to pursue with you and me, you see that when you receive a gift, it doesn't result in fear. It results in gratitude. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, such love, some of the relationship that God's trying to pursue with you and with me, it says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. Again, going back to this idea of debt. But this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. You see, when you understand that you've been given a gift, it changes. And all of a sudden, it's no longer about what I owe. It's just simply about gratitude. You're just overwhelmed with gratitude. Because you have nothing else to bring to the table. You have no way of being able to repay it. And when you give that up, when you swallow your pride and you swallow the idea that in some way, shape, or form, you're ever going to be able to give a gift back that even comes close to matching it, when you swallow the idea that you even should try, then rather than experiencing fear and anxiety, we become overwhelmed with gratitude. I just can't believe that it's free. I can't believe he did this for me. Expecting nothing in return. And I know for some of you, as we talk through this, you're thinking to yourself, but what about all the times in the New Testament where it talks about this idea that we are slaves to Christ? I mean, Paul consistently throughout the New Testament talks about the fact that we are slaves to Christ. And I mean, don't we owe him everything? I mean, look at what he's done for us. He's literally brought us back from the dead. Like, don't we owe him everything? I want to talk to you for a second about the terminology that Paul uses when he talks about the fact that he's a slave to Christ. It's really important. Because our modern translations translate it slave, but the word that he uses is actually referring to a very specific type of slave. It was called a bondservant. And in the ancient world, the way that you would repay a debt, if you couldn't repay it financially, is that you would become someone's slave. And so if I owed you a certain amount of money and I didn't have the money to be able to pay it back, then what I would do is I'd sit down with you and we would agree to terms of as far as how long I was going to be your slave. And then I would come to work for you and I would serve you. And then at the end of that time, I would be released. And it would be publicly known as far as how long I was going to serve you. And I would be your servant for that amount of time. And then I would experience my freedom. But there were those who began to work for certain people and began to be part of certain organizations and certain families, and they just loved it. They loved being a part of this family. They loved serving this master. They loved the way that the master treated them, and they loved the life that they had as they were a part of this family. And so at the end, when it was time for them to be set free, they would choose to become a bondservant. And what they would do is that they would go, and very publicly before everyone in the community, they would have their ear pierced. And they would drive this huge nail right through their ear, so they created this giant hole. And it was a symbol that they had freely themselves chosen to become this individual's slave for the rest of their life because of the relationship that they had with them. You see, when Paul's talking about the fact that we're slaves to Christ, it's not because we owe a debt that we need to in some way, shape, or form repay. Paul is someone who experienced a gift. And in light of that gift, out of gratitude, overwhelmed with gratitude, had chosen to serve God with all that he had. See, when Paul's talking about this, he's speaking of someone who has freely chosen. You see, when you've been given a gift, it doesn't result in slavery. It results in freedom. Let me take you back to this passage in Ephesians chapter 2 because it speaks to this. It says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship." He says, this is the gift, and the gift results in what? It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He says, now that we've been free, now that we have this gift, we live our lives not in order to in some way, shape, or form repay a debt, but that we live our lives to be who God has now created us to be. These things that he created us for before he even created the world. These things that he had prepared in advance for us to do. But we don't live in debt. We live in gratitude. And the two are unbelievably different. And so I ask you this morning, and I think for some of us it's going to take time to be able to look at in our relationship with God and the way we look at what he's done for us. But it's a critical question. Have you been given a gift? Or have you taken on a debt? Listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1. It says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." For some of you, you accepted the gift initially as a gift. But somewhere along the line, you bought into the lie that it's a debt. And it's robbing you of experiencing God the way that Jesus Christ died for you to experience him. And rather than living a life that is free and full of gratitude, you live a life with God that is full of fear and anxiety. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't. It's a gift. It's a gift. And make no mistake about it, God had every right to demand that the debt be repaid. He had every right to establish a relationship with us in which we owed him, in which we had to repay what had been done. But that's not what he wanted. He doesn't want you to repay it. He wants to be with you. It's a gift. Can you receive a gift? And make no mistake about it, I don't think that this is something that happens overnight. I don't think that this is something that we walk out of here today and it's over. I think it's something that for many of us, or for most of us, we'll struggle with our entire lives. Because our pride is going to keep coming back, and the lie will keep coming back, that we have to, in some way, shape, or form, repay it, that we are in debt as opposed to free. But my prayer for you as we go into this Christmas and the Christmases to come is that as you exchange gifts, as you undoubtedly will, as you give gifts and receive gifts, that every time you unwrap one of these gifts, in the back of your mind to yourself, you will engage this conversation with God. And once again, remind yourself, it's a gift. So that maybe, just maybe, step by step, year after year, we will come closer and closer to living the lives that He died for us to live. Will you pray with me? Father, our desire for control, our desire to, in some way, shape, or form, be the one who gives the most. At the heart of it, our pride. It robs us of so much of the life that You created us for. And as we look at this unbelievable gift of Christmas, the truth is that it can so easily rob us of that as well. Father, it's hard to trust that You've loved us this much. It's hard to trust that You gave it freely. We don't know people like that. We're not like that. So, Father, I pray that You would help our lack of faith. That today, as we look at these words from Romans 6 and Ephesians 2, that it is a free gift. You would give us the ability to trust You, to accept it. Because even the ability to accept it is a gift from You. And Father, I pray for every single person here as we walk into this Christmas season and all that it holds. I pray that every single time we hold a gift in our hands for the next few weeks, that we would be reminded of this truth. And that as a result, it would become more and more real in our lives. That you did not give the gift to be repaid, but that you gave the gift to be with us. We love being with you. In Jesus' name, amen.